Guess what, Lions? For as little as $5 a month, you can get access to exclusive bonus audio content and help this program grow by joining the Lions of Liberty Pride. To learn more, head over to lionsofliberty.com/support. By the way, while I'm pulling this up, I should inform you that this is the 328th episode of the Lions of Liberty podcast, which means you can find the show notes at Who Wants to Help Me Out Here?
lionsofliberty.com/328.
I gave you a slam dunk there, and you couldn't even
lionsofliberty.com/328.
Welcome to the Lions of Liberty podcast. Here's your host, your guide, your shining beacon of liberty, Mark Claire.
And welcome back. This is hopefully, maybe, this might even be the first piece of audio you're listening to in 2018, depending on where you live, depending on when you opened your phone and downloaded the show, but I'm so thrilled to have you all back here listening to the very first, not only the very first Lions of Liberty episode of 2018, this might be the very first Libertarian podcast published in 2018, and I'm going to skip some of the formalities. We'll get to all the nitty-gritty, all the things you need to know in just a second, but I don't want to waste any time bringing in my guest because it is New Year's, and that means we're having a New Year's party. Kick off your shoes and come on in. I've got John Odie Odermatt and Howie, the Godfather Snowden, both here with me. That's right. That's the first time I ever did this. I totally broke script. I introduced everybody at once. Just talk when you want. Welcome to my abode.
I don't even know what to say. It's good to be here.
I know.
Happy New Year's. Some things have changed. He did skip what we're drinking.
I didn't skip it. I'm going to get to it.
All right.
God. Man, I had to cram both your intros into one sentence. I didn't have to. I just did. You expect me to also get the drinks in that same sentence?
How about Howie and I say what we're drinking at the same time?
Why don't we just, for new listeners, identify who's who? I am your host, Mark Claire, as Dan Smotz, the host of the System Is Down podcast, so kindly mentioned in the introduction. We've also got John Odie Odermatt, the host of Felony Friday. Would you like to identify yourself again?
That's me right here, the nasally getting over a cold voice.
There's something going around. We actually had Brian McWilliams just I think he might be dead, to be honest with you. Like, he just said he can't do the show, and then he went silent. I think him pumping out that Christmas Carol edition of ELL was like his last breath of life and he gave it to you people. That's right.
It was a good ending, if that's the case.
Yeah, it was a pretty good way to go out.
I still think Scrooge should have been number one.
Scrooge? I agree. Scrooge is clearly number one. Muppets is pretty good. The Muppet Christmas Carol is a good one.
I'll admit, I haven't seen it, but I bet,
get out of here.
I can't fathom it being better than Scrooged.
It's not. It's good, though. And that's Howie Snowden. Howie Snowden is referred to, for new listeners, as the Godfather, because he essentially, if you really trace the lineage all the way back, he is the one that is essentially responsible for this podcast. If you go all the way back to the beginning in college, in our days at Penn State, at one point we had many, many, much like the show you're about to hear, only we didn't record it back then because podcasts didn't exist because we're old. We used to have many late nights of drinking and booze and debauchery, maybe a little political talk. And one night, Howie just started talking and ranting about this dude, Ron Paul, who he actually met when he was a congressional page. And he told me how he used to talk about this liberty thing. And then he also gave me a book by Harry Brown. And those two things combined sort of got the ball rolling for me learning about libertarianism. And, you know, here you go, 14, 15 or so years later. And we are all sitting on a podcast talking about it.
Hey, Mark, you said we didn't record it back then. If you remember, we used to make those fake radio shows in Sam's room. We might want to release some of those to a very exclusive, high-paying Pride tier. We don't want those getting out to a lot of people. But
yeah, those are not for regular Pride members.
I'm pretty sure Sam still has that stuff.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh man, if those still exist, I'll tell you who's going to get them right now. If we find this audio, we'll have to hit up Sam after the show, our old friend Sam. Not old, I mean, he's still alive. I feel like I'm talking about death too much already in the show.
He is old. He's an old friend, so. Yeah.
He's older, and he's a friend. but those will be released only to Jason Carrier, our $100 a month Pride member.
Yeah.
That's the level you got to be at.
That sounds
good. And if you join the $1,000 level, you get to learn Rico's actual identity. That's what I'm just going to put out there. That's such a secret level that we don't even list it on the website, on the Pride site. By the way, lionsofliberty.com/support is where you can find all the information about the Lions of Liberty Pride, where we are now. We're going to detail this stuff a little more, but we just hit. I'm going to pull it up live because I'm really excited of where we're at right now. A year ago, live recorded, whatever this is. How do podcasts work again? I'm confused. By the way, while I'm pulling this up, I should inform you that this is the 328th episode of the Lions of Liberty podcast, which means you can find the show notes at Who Wants to Help Me Out Here?
lionsofliberty.com/322 or 328.
I gave you a slam dunk there, and you couldn't even
lionsofliberty.com/328.
So the booze is already getting.
So this is a regular episode. I usually just so people on the fence about joining the Pride, I speak way more freely on the Pride only episodes.
This is true, and Howie will speak pretty freely, especially as we continue drinking. What are you drinking, by the way, Howie?
I am drinking Sweet Baby Jesus, which is a chocolate peanut butter porter.
Oh wow,
that sounds good.
I was gonna guess you were drinking Yuengling, so that's what I'm drinking. That's why I said before we should say it at the same time. It would be kind of funny, but. Well, that would have sounded just weird if you said Sweet Baby Jesus and I said Yuengling. What a
Yuengling Sweet Baby Jesus.
Yeah, no. So I was at the store today and I figured I'd buy something that my soon to be bride likes to drink as well. So it's pretty good alcohol content though, 6.2. And it's delicious.
I imagine you have to drink a lot of alcohol to live with Howie. I'm not saying that you're a difficult person. I'm just saying you drink a lot, so to like keep up with all the drunk thoughts, you would probably have to, you know.
Just because that's what you did when we lived together.
Well, yeah, that was my solution. I'm like, man, this guy drinks so much. I don't know if I can hang out with him or I can try to keep up. And this is how friendship blossoms, my friends. So, yeah, I just pulled it up. We are now at $665 per month. And a year ago today, how much money were we taking in per month from patrons? Zero, because we hadn't even launched this program yet. So in a year, enough people have decided to part with their hardcore, maybe some people earn it hardcorely, their hard-earned dollars and send them to us to support this program. And we're really impressed. I got to say, I am flattered because I don't like paying for anything. And it sort of blows my mind that people would just voluntarily send us money. It's not for free. It's not just giving us money, because we actually put so much effort into even the Pride shows, even to all the bonus content we do. So it's not like it's for free. But I think ultimately most people that sign up for this, they sign up for a lot of reasons, you know, their tertiary reasons, like listening to the bonus audio content, which we do a ton of, and, you know, just getting access to some free items, stuff that the regular listeners just don't get access to. But ultimately, everybody supports us because they support the cause of liberty and they support our mission to expand this discussion, and that is really what it's all about at the end of the day, because I think as Ron Paul did so bravely, which we discussed in episode 325, my interview with Ron Paul, be sure to check it out if you're one of the newbies on board. You can find that, of course, at lionsofliberty.com/325. Check out this very convenient show notes system we have, but you can go ahead and check out that interview with Ron Paul. But he really did, I think his bravery in speaking out about the ideas of liberty in many ways inspired all of us to end up doing the same thing. Would you agree with that, Odie?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the entire reason that I, you know, seeked out the libertarian ideals and got interested.
I believe the term is sought.
Sought. We were talking about how to pronounce words before the show, which might become its own Pride episode there. But anyway.
Yeah, we spent 5 minutes trying to pronounce a word, out. And I'm not even going to say the word because, well, I want you guys to hear how we try to pronounce it in the bonus.
We argued about who had the most, like, Latin and Greek training and knew where words came from. Everyone agreed. Mark knows the most Hebrew.
I might not. No, I do. I had a bar mitzvah. I should know the most Hebrew.
Yeah, I did not argue any of that. I don't know any Latin or Hebrew, so... Anyway, Ron Paul's the inspiration. And you know, one thing to point out, you said a year ago, obviously, we're at zero. Just 2 weeks ago, we were at like 490. So,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Amazing in 2 weeks how far we've been able to come. But, this is what it's all about. And it's great to have so much support from people who are really helping us lift this message up and spread it to others, because none of this is coming back into our pockets. It's all going back into advertising on other podcasts, on Part of the Problem, on Tom Woods, and you know, I'm sure many more into 2018. So it's awesome. I mean, I've always been excited about doing this, and I get excited about giving people the opportunity on Felony Friday to talk about their stories, share how they've been wronged by the criminal justice system. But I get really excited when it gets amplified and more people get to see it. So it's lit a fire under me for sure.
I guess. Howie, you can actually attest to this because even though you contribute and are often co-hosts of a lot of these shows, often a guest, doing tons of shows for us in the Pride, you still give us money every month and actually are a member of the Pride yourself.
Yeah.
So you can speak to this, I think, sure. Most of the three of us.
Some of the Pride content is really good, and there's some stuff I wanted to hear, and you're all like, oh, with Podbean, it's hard to just, you know, give it to you for free. We would if we could. And like, damn it, you know, it's worth it. And so, you know, I could just go in for the minimum amount, but I'm like, but I want to support the cause. I want to support Liberty. I want to support our program and what we're doing to spread the message. So I went for the $10 limit. Not the limit, yeah. But, you know.
Yeah, there's no limit. There's literally no limit, by the way. I should point that out.
I chose to go over the minimum just because, not only because I wanted that content, but because I wanted to support what we're all doing and, you know. Help us out.
Well, it's much appreciated, Mr. Snowden.
And I'm actually thinking about up into the $25 limit, not so that I could get a phone call to you guys, because I talk to you all the time, but I'd like to talk to our Pride listeners that are on those calls, because, I mean, we've got the form and all, but I don't know. I might up it come 2018. We'll see if I get my raise or not. I'm already contributing to a lot of podcasts.
I'm gonna take this as a challenge that by the end of this show we get Howie to up his contribution to $25 a month.
I could stop supporting the Lava Flow and Dan Smoth's.
Well, I'm not saying you should do that, but if you have to divert funds, I mean, we have to make tough decisions.
Two other great programs.
Yeah, look at all the plugs we're giving out today. All right, so we'll get a little bit more into what we've been doing with that money and what we plan to do with it going forward a little bit later in the show. But first, heck, it's New Year's, man. Why don't we talk about the last year in not just in Liberty, in our lives, first of all. How was your guys' year? Hey, feel free to speak, anybody.
My year was excellent. I don't know about anybody else, but I mean.
Why was your year excellent? Because you got engaged?
Yeah, big number one. Got engaged to an amazing woman, lover of Liberty. I also, you know,
she is a lover of Liberty. That's good.
I also got to, I didn't. Yeah, it's, you know, there's that old joke. How do you meet libertarian women? It's like, oh, you don't. You make them. But I actually met her, and she, you know, she wouldn't probably call herself that, but she, like, her instincts, her inner person was like a libertarian, kind of like I described John McAfee. Like, he wasn't red book libertarian or anything, but he just believed in freedom. But
yeah, I think a lot of people that are apolitical or that aren't deeply involved in politics, if you actually talk to them, you know, most of people's political positions that they really hold dearly are because they have sort of attached themselves to a political party. They've attached themselves to the Democrats or progressive causes or whatever that is, and they're kind of on that team, or they're conservative / Republican, and they latch onto that, and that's why they get so entrenched, because not because of the positions themselves, but because they become part of a team, and they just have to dig in and root for the team, because, heck, I was born here in Republican land. I'm going to vote for Republicans. Just like when you're born in Pittsburgh, you root for the Steelers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
same thing.
She's never even voted before.
There you go.
But
yeah, and I think that's similar to, you know, how people that don't have a team already, if you just talk to them like people, the default position is kind of leave us alone. You know, regular people don't think about, like, imposing regulations on people and passing new laws. If anything, regular people have just dealt with, like, annoyances, even if it's just the DMV or whatever government regulation here and there they might encounter in their lives, and we all encounter taxes. So, I mean, I think regular people that don't get so political, that don't, you know, just tie themselves permanently, just wed themselves to a political party, those people are a lot more likely to hold libertarian beliefs.
Yeah, but besides that, this year, I mean, was online's Liberty a lot. Got to spread the message of Liberty. Besides that,
got to join the Pride.
I was also on the Johnny Rocket Launchpad spreading the message. I was on the Remsel Republic spreading the message.
Yeah, you're getting out there in the podcast world.
Yeah, I might have to start one of my own someday under the Lions Liberty flag.
Are you laying the seeds?
I am. It's
for the much rumored Howie Snowden Happy Hour.
It'll be coming soon. It won't be January 1st. I've got some actual work stuff to
what was that? That was me literally popping a bottle of champagne because I celebrate New Year's.
Because we're announcing Howie's new podcast.
Yeah. I just cut the ribbon on your podcast.
Probably, I need to get this certification for work. Once I do that, I'll do it. But so yeah, you'll see it this year. I've got some.
You're gonna have to learn to stop bumping into your mic stand if you want to have your own podcast. That's all.
I didn't do it. That was not me that time.
Oh,
that actually might have been me. Really? Sorry about that.
Okay. It's way more fun to blame Howie for all technical issues, even though I'm the one that delayed the show by an hour and a half today.
Yeah.
The things we do for liberty, folks.
Other great things about this year, I just finished up being master in my Masonic Lodge, which was a good experience, a lot of freaking work. I'm glad I have some free time back now, though. But
cue the Howie Snowden and the Lions of Liberty are Illuminati shills memes.
There we go.
You can insert those right here. Yeah. Or you can create them and post them in our Facebook group, the Lions of Liberty Forum. Just type Lions of Liberty Forum in your search bar on Facebook and come join the conversation.
I thought Taco Bell was the Illuminati now. I don't know.
I'm just programmed to plug. I can't even help it. I have brainwashed myself.
But yeah, great year for me. What about you guys?
It's been a, it's been a good year for sure. It's been a, not an easy year, but not because of really things that have happened from the outside world. It's things I've taken on myself. I've made myself incredibly busy doing way too many things, probably. But, I mean, with all of that happening, I've probably learned more about myself and what I'm capable of from a just a work standpoint, which kind of makes me feel like, you know, these past 5-10 years I haven't been working hard enough. But I've learned a ton. I mean, I've picked up a lot of new skills, and I'm very happy with Felony Friday, where it is right now, and very happy with being able to really start to grow a community of people who've suffered injustice at hands of the criminal justice system. Started the Rights for Felons Facebook group, which is starting to pick up a little steam. If you haven't joined that, please come over and join that. Just punch Rights for Felons in the search bar at the top on Facebook, and I'm becoming a plug machine too, Mark. So there you go. But it's been a great year, and you know, I have a daughter, a 2-year-old daughter, and watching her grow up has been it's just amazing, and gives you a whole new perspective on life. And
when does the brainwashing start for little Ruby? I know she's already been listening to the podcast, which might not always be a good idea, especially when Howie's on.
Oh, man, I let my mom listen to the Waco episode when we were in the car the other day, and she's like, what, you own guns? I'm like, yeah, Mom.
Wow, this is, we could probably just do the rest of the show talking about
Howie.
I am a goddamn veteran. I know how to use a firearm. It's fine.
Oh, man, can we talk, I think we should delve into this story more in the Pride bonus. What do you think?
Yeah, possibly.
I mean, you can talk about it more here now. I'm just saying we might go even deeper in the Pride bonus.
But hey, no.
How can your own mother not know you own guns at the age of whatever you are, 37 or something?
Because I'm a super liberal Democrat and I've lied about it for the last decade.
Oh, well, I guess that's one way.
But hey, Odie, no, seriously, Felony Friday has become like one of the best things about Lions of Liberty. Like, we're all for the message of liberty, but like hearing these people's personal stories like makes me like want to actually do something for these people the system's screwing over like so much. It's such a great thing. I'm so glad you started this.
Yeah, thanks, man. And it's for me just recently, even, and Mark and I were talking about it on last episode of Felony Friday last week, episode 104, which you can find at lionsofliberty.com/ff104. And Mark, we were talking about Ban the Box, and Mark brought up Expand the Box. And then we started, that kind of branched off into a different discussion. I posted a poll in the Rights for Felons group talking about what are the biggest issues in 2018 to focus on, biggest criminal justice issues to focus on. And Mark asked the question, is there a political action committee focused on felons' rights? I don't think there is, which I think that's a huge opportunity. There's a lot of opportunities to make a difference, and I don't see anybody taking the lead. I'm not saying I'm going to start the pack. I mean, I would like to support it.
This
is a kind of controversial thing, because, like, let me first say, I'm all for it. Once you've paid your debt to society, you should have all your rights back, not to mention that most of these people didn't do anything that was actually wrong or should be illegal. But that being said, there was a lot of controversy recently in Virginia when, right before the presidential election, Governor McAuliffe gave all the felons the right to vote, and like 90% of the felons, I guess, vote Democrat. So it's like, I know it's the right thing, but it kills me seeing all these felons voting Democrat. And same with like when we have immigration come in, like, I want people to be able to come here and work and make a better life, but I hate that they're voting Democrat. It's like, you know, I'm going to stick with the right thing. but
I definitely know. I know what you're saying.
Obviously, I'm not saying they shouldn't be able to. I say your time's done. You get your rights back. But I hate that so many of them vote Democrat.
Yeah, well, the unfortunate thing is that's because so many Republicans are just raised and brought up with these blinders on that they got to be tough on crime. And being tough on crime is not giving people their rights back and making the prison experience as horrible as it can be. So, I mean, that has to change. And if a political action committee has to work with the Democrats to help change that, then so be it. I mean, that's the way our current system's set up. So tough.
Yeah, I mean that's totally right. But I mean, apparently there's some pretty libertarian felons coming out that have been on your show, and I know Robert Downey Jr. came out of prison like much more conservative than when he went in.
That's the thing. I think most felons are pretty libertarian because they know how messed up the system is, and they know that a lot of these laws that have ruined their lives are complete crap. So yeah, most of them do have a libertarian leaning to them, but
yeah, they might not follow Gary Johnson on Facebook or the inner workings of like libertarian squabbling and stuff like that. But I don't know why I thought Gary Johnson on Facebook was like the bar for libertarians. But point being, they might not be like active libertarians, just like I was talking about earlier, like regular people that don't think about politics. I think a lot of the people you interview are maybe like that or different than that. But when they come out of prison and have these experiences and start just talking about their experience, they just sound more libertarian just because they're going to naturally be, because they've seen that injustice firsthand. They've been victims of it. They are victims.
You know
they are currently victims of it.
You know what, though? If they think Republicans are so bad and Democrats are better, maybe having a libertarian podcast like Felony Friday will pull some of them into the libertarian camp as opposed to joining the Democrat camp. So, John, you may be doing an even bigger service than even at first thought you were doing.
Yeah, I know, Howie. That's my master plan, really, to grow the libertarian – I don't want to say libertarian party, but to grow the –
the small L.
Yeah, the small L group of libertarians, and by bringing people in that way. And then we have, once they're listening to Felony Friday, we have two other podcasts, Electric Liberty Land and Mark Claire's show, where you're going to hear a Mark Claire show from the greatest minds in the Liberty Movement, and you're going to hear analysis on current events from Brian McWilliams and great stuff like that.
Brian McWilliams! I've got a great podcast, but I can't pronounce words!
That was how long has Howie been waiting to do a Brian impression of his own?
I can't do it
every time.
I can't
Howie's
do
not
impressions,
on the show.
But I had to try.
No, that was perfect. That was actually perfect.
That might have been the top event of 2017 for me, right there.
Here's the thing: when you're doing impressions, there's two ways to do impressions. You can do impression accurately, like sound like the person, or you can just go, "I'm this guy and I do this thing," and that you took that route. I think that's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, that's the only route I got.
Oh man, good times. All right, so my year. I forgot to ask myself about my year. My year's been very interesting, very challenging, mostly because who is just opening and closing their car door?
I just
right
opened
now?
Another sweet baby Jesus, Mark.
Okay, that's totally acceptable. I want to picture you just out in a car, shivering.
Actually, it's funny. I just put in some security cameras outside, so I'm looking at my car outside on the monitor, making sure nobody's messing with it.
Anybody in there?
No. I got the front door monitor, the parking lot. I still need to put up the backyard ones.
You have much better security than I do at my home.
I like to be able to see what's going on around the house. I'm down in the basement doing whatever
my
I
My security
do.
Is two Huskies and my side piece. That's it. Wait, my side piece. That's not what you call your claw. That's what you call your girl on the side. Anyway, totally getting off track here. This year was interesting for me because after being completely freelance for 10 years, I actually took a full-time job in the industry I work in. So that was a bit of a transition. It still is a transition. It makes life on one end way more easier because when you're freelance, it doesn't even matter. Even if you're a freelance, especially in LA in the TV industry where things are always up and down, you are always worried about money, even if you're working a ton. Even if you have 30 days of work booked, you're always thinking like, all right, what after that 30 days? Because I have nothing booked yet after those 30 days. Or you think, what if half these days get canceled? Because that shit does happen. So from a mental standpoint, like I really don't think about money too much anymore. Obviously, I'm not saying I'm just rolling in the dough, but I know how much money is showing up every 2 weeks, which for a freelancer is just a totally different change of pace. And of course, with that means I'm expected to work 5 days a week, which of course I also wasn't used to. I mean, sometimes I would work 7 days a week as a freelancer. Sometimes I'd work two. But the weeks I worked two is when I would really delve into working on the podcast a lot more, where I would just bang out a bunch of interviews, where I'd really get ahead on things. And that's how I was able to do 2 days a week. And before Brian started his show last year or this year, I'm so confused about years, especially when it's New Year's.
It was January 2017.
Well, it's this year when we're recording. It's last year when everybody hears it.
Time is speeding up. Next conspiracy corner.
That is a real conspiracy that we did discuss on a Pride bonus. So why time may be speeding up. I think we should do a whole episode on that, to be honest.
Yeah.
If we have time. Hi-yo. So I think the biggest challenge for me is that we started the Pride, and it was great that Brian took one of those 2 days to start Electric Liberty Land, because I think that's been an amazing addition. He is just doing a bang-up job and killing it on that show, so I'm glad we were able to do that, and that took a little bit of load off me, thankfully, because with my full-time job, I don't see how I could have really kept up that pace, especially when you could add on top of that all the content we're producing for the Lions of Liberty Pride. We're constantly doing extra bonus shows. I'm doing extra questions with guests of the show. We're going to do a Pride bonus tonight when we're done with this, and we'll be so much drunker by then. That's the most exciting. The Pride bonuses are where we get tipsy, I'd say, when we do libertarians in living rooms drinking liquor, like you're hearing right now, but yeah, we usually don't get too off the rails.
Well,
sometimes.
Last I think week's Naughty or Nice. I was way off the rails.
I can't tell with you. You know, some people just can't tell if they're sober or drunk.
I can't believe I got a Nice. I thought I was going to get a Naughty for taking off from the podcast and going to see Star Wars on my anniversary.
The Godfather can't get a Naughty. Come on. That is pretty bad, though. No, you didn't take off. You're all good. You're here now.
So was it your actual anniversary of what? Of
when we first started dating. So
okay.
Come October 20th, we'll have a real marriage anniversary. But, you know, we're not getting married till then. But so our first date was 2 years ago from when you guys recorded that.
Fair enough. As long as it wasn't like the anniversary of the first time you went to like whatever restaurant, so you had to go back, you know, something weird.
First
like
time
that.
We went to Applebee's, we have to celebrate it every year.
Exactly.
Yeah, we went to brunch at a place that no longer exists. So,
how'd you do that? You went to brunch at a place that no longer exists.
Well, no, that on our first date we went to brunch at this place, and now it no longer exists.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But anyways, I really wanted to see the new Star Wars, and like. Schedule is jam-packed. I'm like, well, we're free on the 20th. It is our anniversary. She's like, hell yeah, we can go see Star Wars on our anniversary. It's like, that's why we're getting married.
Nice.
I can't wait to the podcast 5 years from now when Howie's detailing his divorce proceedings.
Second time's a charm, Mark. Won't happen.
Maybe we'll do a bonus show about Howie's first divorce. Maybe.
I'll tell you what, it's always a good sign.
We're lining up a lot of bonus shows. First divorce, that was really rude of me. That presumes a second in the future. I don't really mean that. I'm sure you'll be wonderful and happy.
It's always a good sign in a relationship. And I think we all, at this point, have very understanding significant others who allow us to podcast, to pour a lot of time into podcasting. So
allow.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, they could just leave. So
they deal with it. Yes,
staying is allowing it. But yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, I never asked a question, honey, is it okay if I start a podcast? I said, hey, I'm starting a podcast. And then, here's the things you have to deal with. Like, just go away.
Actually,
some amount of time.
Actually, the one night you guys want to do a podcast, I'm like, oh, I'm so busy this week. I don't have anything to do that night, but I don't want to do it. She's like, don't be a pussy. Just fucking do the podcast.
I'm yeah.
Like, all right. So I did it.
Nice.
Well, she just earned some major points with me. All right. What else were we going to talk about? Something. Oh, yeah. We have a new Pride member. We have a lot of new Pride members, but one in particular posted this in here in our secret Pride Facebook group, not just the Lions of Liberty Forum. We even have a super-duper top-secret Pride Facebook group that you can only get into by joining the Lions of Liberty Pride. Again, you can find more info at lionsofliberty.com/support. But, you know, he really... I'm not going to read the whole paragraph, but basically he's talking about how the mainstream media always does a retrospective on, you know, what the biggest news stories of the year are. And you watch stuff like that, and it's never the news stories that libertarians think should be the biggest news stories. So what we're going to do, and this is Carl, I'm so afraid to mispronounce people's last names. I believe it's pronounced Carl I want to say it's Legio. There's two G's. I feel like that's what it is. It could be Legio, but that doesn't sound
right.
It's
got to be Legio.
Carl.
Yeah.
It's got to be Legio, right?
Yeah, I'm not looking at it, but
either way,
like...
Carl, thank you for the suggestion, because I think it's a good one, of going through what would be the biggest stories for libertarians. And we're not going to make a whole top 10 list or anything, but why don't we toss out a couple ideas and just shoot the shit on this one for a while? Because that's
so
what we do here.
I've got one for this. This isn't like a pro-liberty story or anything, but it's things that libertarians should care about. I think 100 years from now, that's going to be in the news, or not in the news, but in the history books, that the United States helped Saudi Arabia commit a genocide in Yemen. Like, we're killing probably hundreds of thousands of people. There's a million people with cholera right now because of the blockade that we've been supporting. Like, no one... And allowing the Saudis to, like, bomb the water treatment plants. There's no clean water, no nothing. These people are dying. And the people that are dying are kids and the elderly. And it's a freaking genocide going on that we're supporting. And there's not one word about it in the media. I guarantee you no one you talk to will even know that we are, like, involved in a war in Yemen.
No, yeah, totally. I mean, literally, I'm pretty sure the only people that know about that war are libertarians or maybe non-libertarians that happen to listen to the Scott Horton show. Because he's pretty much the only person I hear talking about it that, well, I mean, he is a libertarian, but he brings on a lot of, he brings on a lot of guests that are anti-war, like sort of from the left point of view, but I respect the hell out of them because the kind of people he brings on that are of that ilk are the ones that will criticize every, you know, they will criticize Obama. They don't care what administration is in. They're consistently anti-war and honest on these issues. So, you know, whatever about all your other beliefs when we're going to look into human life and death. Because for me, at the end of the day, the war is like the war on drugs. These are two things, like our all of our antics overseas, antics. What a cute way to put, you know, killing people all over the world. But, you know, the regimes that we support, and this is the reason I gave Donald Trump a naughty on the Naughty or Nice special last year. It's really the main reason, because I think he's done a lot of good things domestically. I don't like his theoretical immigration policies from a libertarian standpoint, but he didn't really, in reality, he's deporting less people than Obama. So he has a lot of rhetoric about immigration I don't like, but his actions haven't really been that bad, other than, you know, the semi-ban type thing. I'm not a huge fan of that, but it is what it is. For the most part, with his slashing regulations, slashing taxes, maybe not slashing, that's probably not the word for this tax bill at all. It's a slight adjustment, but he did really cut the corporate taxes. There's a lot of things he's done that are good, that are just good regardless, at least from the libertarian standpoint. But at the end of the day, if you're making deals with a regime like Saudi Arabia that's actively participating in genocide, I can't give you that nice symbol. I just can't. So that's why Trump got an audience.
I totally agree with you, but just one caveat. He did recently ask them to stop the blockade, but that's, I mean, he has.
I saw a headline about that.
He has to know about all the other stuff we're doing to support them. I mean, I find it, like, implausible for him to not know. Like, from what I hear from Scott Horton, there's, like, white U.S. soldiers, like, holding little princeling's hands at in their jets on the way to, like, their bombing targets. Like, we're giving them a lot of support in this war.
What?
That's just killing all these innocent people.
Hold on. Say that last thing again.
I'm saying they have, like, American, like, white boys in the jets with the Saudi princelings holding their hands as they get to their bombing targets to blow up, you know, their water infrastructure. So they go home.
Like, not metaphorically, like, literally holding their hands?
Literally. Well, no, because they can't fly. Literally in the jets, not literally holding their hands.
Only the white, you know, pilots are allowed to.
You know, I mean, we sell them all their parts and all their shit, and we teach them how to do it. You know,
why are they so racist? Why do they only let white pilots hold their hands? I'm so lost.
You know what I mean.
You're saying that the Americans are directly directing, like, the bombing missions and that sort of thing.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Rumor has it. There's from a few good sources. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that there are supposedly special forces on the ground there now. So
I did not even know about that. I know we've got a lot of troops over in Syria right now. I thought Obama said it was no boots on the ground, but that started when he was in. But you know what? It's pretty funny that ISIS got stamped out right after Trump said we're not going to give arms to the rebels anymore, which was ISIS.
Damn it, Howie, you just took mine.
Because we wanted them to overthrow Assad. We even, like, they were fighting ISIS hard in Iraq, but just pushing them south, pushing them out of Iraq into Syria. It's like, no. Just go there. You'll get your weapons. Do your thing. You know, it's the people we get in bed with is it's just bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, ISIS being stamped out is not something, I'm not going to pretend I know a lot about it. I haven't researched it. I have no idea what's caused it. But my understanding is, from a geographic standpoint, ISIS really doesn't hold control over really any area anymore. Of course, ISIS could spring up anywhere and have a bombing, and that can still happen. But is it as simple, from your understanding, Howie, that ISIS has just... their funding's been cut off, essentially? I mean...
yes, but not completely. I mean, we even... I don't know if this was Trump's direction, but one of the last places they held in Syria, we let them go with all their weapons and shit. Like a 5-mile-long convoy. Just, all right, go on. Get out of here. I think there might be some people, maybe in the deep state, that still wants them active and armed and fighting against Assad in Syria. I don't know if, I mean, maybe Trump's in on that too, but it seems like he's trying to stop them. He's been doing a hell of a lot more than Obama did. And even like, you know, I wanted Trump to pull out the Middle East and everywhere and stop everything, but part of me was like, with this ISIS threat, if he has to briefly intensify things, stamp them out, then all right, we pull everybody out. I could have maybe accepted that, but we saw the stamped out part. We see putting more troops in Afghanistan, and oh yeah, and they're there forever. And now we have troops here and here and here. So yeah, Trump fails.
Yeah, I think here's what you could say about Trump when it comes to foreign policy. He's not morally any better at all, but he may be smarter. And he may be, I guess, less reckless and less, you know, less all over the place. But at the end of the day, he's still going to be in half troops in every country.
Something that makes me think that is like he felt like he had to do something in Syria. And he bombed a place where like hardly anybody got killed or anything. Like, I think it was like, I don't know, maybe like he feels constrained by the deep state. And he's like, I have to do something. I have to do this and that. But I don't know.
He bombed an empty airbase. Right?
Isn't I mean, there were a couple dudes there that got killed, but you know,
well, and they warned the Syrian government ahead of time.
But who knows?
So
but, I mean,
how much of a real attack is that?
A lot more to stop ISIS than Obama did. But then I see these things like where we let them go with their weapons and all this stuff, and so I don't know how much of that is a deep state, and how much of that is Trump, but the things he did, not perfect, not great, not what I would do. Definitely better than what's been going on previous.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, when you look at it, what's been going on previous with Obama, when you still had the alliance with Saudi Arabia, they were attacking Yemen even back then. So that's not an entirely new thing. So you'd still have that, plus all the bad parts. Yeah, plus all the other bad parts of Obama's foreign policy, the part where they're, you know, funding literal terrorists, some of which became ISIS, some of which were actively ISIS in Syria. So
those people that McCain was pictured with, like, ended up, like, beheading children later. Like, oh, yeah, great. Great guys, those are the moderate Muslims, right, McCain?
Yeah. No one's going to argue that Trump is libertarian on foreign policy. Well, maybe not nobody. I don't know. Maybe Liberty Hangout will. But only because someone posted that meme today. I guess there's some controversy going around that Liberty Hangout said, if you don't support Trump after you know, his successful year, you're probably a communist. Obviously, it's a little bit of a snarky meme. They are generally Trump supporters over there. But then I guess Tom Woods came and like defended them on Twitter, and that became a whole thing. I don't know if you guys saw any of that. I don't feel like getting into Twitter controversies. We've talked about too many this year, mostly the Sir Wark Woods flap from earlier in the year. That's my most unheralded. Yeah, that's right. I can pronounce it right now. The most unheralded story of the year. Nicholas Sawark trolls Tom Woods. Why isn't the MSM covering it? Tell me.
Because libertarians are irrelevant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true enough. So we'll just
okay. Who's,
we'll just stop talking then.
What is more relevant?
Well,
the Libertarian Party.
The libertarians of the Libertarian Party have been irrelevant. They've been unsuccessful. They haven't made a difference in, like, what has it been, 50 years? I'm not saying it has to stay like that.
The libertarians that the Libertarian Party have put out are a product of the small-L libertarians either getting involved or being effective, contributing to the Libertarian Party.
I hate to start a controversy, but the libertarians that have made a difference have been Republicans, like Ron Paul. Rand Paul and Justin Amash and Thomas Massie.
Well, I will agree with you 100% on Ron Paul, because I mean, Ron, you can't dispute that Ron Paul is, I mean, he's completely, it's been a seismic shift in the Liberty movement, what he's done. And he was able to do that. I think a lot of things contributed to it. I think the, because, I mean, obviously that wasn't the first time Ron Paul ran for office. Back in 1988, he ran under the Libertarian Party banner. It did not have nearly the same effect, and he was really saying the same exact thing. But obviously in 2008...
It wasn't on TV then.
And he wasn't on TV then, and there was no internet then, exactly. But it was also a climate of what it was at the time. Things were so freaking insane. I mean, of course, we've talked extensively about, and Mark, you talked with Ron Paul about the Rudy Giuliani moment. And, I mean, Ron Paul was just saying stuff that he always said. I mean, it wasn't anything different for him. And he just said it, and people were like, wow, people actually think this. And, well, I agree with that. That does make sense. We're bombing them. They don't like that.
That was literally because he was on TV. I mean, I heard him say that in Congress back in 97. I was like, oh, yeah, he's right.
That's so crazy. You heard him saying that in Congress 10 years before the world got to hear him say this stuff on TV.
That is nuts.
On a Republican debate of all, on a Republican debate stage of all places.
Yeah,
to talk about our
we have the,
I mean, what
we
you're talking about right now with Yemen is a great example. Well, how many people in Yemen are starving to death? How many people are being murdered there? How many of those people that somehow make it out of this travesty alive are going to grow up not only thinking about Saudi Arabia and thinking about the travesties that government perpetrated upon them, but how many of those people are going to remember the American flag or some, you know, Northrop Grumman or something on those bombs that drop, you know,
yeah, remember,
or see the little white guy, the white guy holding their hands in the plane.
It says made in the USA on the bombs.
Yeah. Why do we put that on there? We should probably not do that on bombs.
Yeah. What do you put made in North Korea or something?
Yeah. made in Canada.
I know many of you are facing major decisions with your healthcare right now, and I want to make sure that you know about an amazing alternative to your standard corporatized health insurance known as Health Excellence Plus. Health Excellence Plus is an incredible program that helps you keep medical costs under control by taking charge of your own healthcare and not leaving all the decisions about what doctors you see, what procedures you need or don't need, up to some corporate bureaucrat. Along with providing 24/7 access to medical professionals, tax-deferred health savings accounts, and preventative care, Health Excellence Plus empowers you to finally take control of your healthcare. To learn more, head on over to lionsofliberty.com/health or call the special hotline for Lions of Liberty listeners at 855-290-4447. Be sure to mention Lions of Liberty.
But so one thing that I thought of just now that the mainstream media is ignoring is and has been ignoring for as long as I can remember is the fact that we have a duopoly, obviously, and on top of that, it's run by two private organizations who don't let anyone else in the debates. And it's you can get into the details of it at the state level. It's even hard to get on the ballot. But someone who we just talked about earlier, Mr. Gary Johnson, is taking on this duopoly, taking on the what's the name of the group that
the Commission on Presidential Debates.
Commission on Presidential Debates.
From a dark room somewhere in New Mexico, he's taking on the powers that be.
If only it was someone they'd take seriously.
I honestly cannot fault Gary for doing that because it's a great cause. He looks goofy as hell doing it. His interview with Larry Sharp, I don't know what that was. Or his endorsement of Larry Sharp for New York governor was just horrible. One of the worst moments I've ever seen of Gary Johnson, and that's saying a lot. But you got to give the guy credit. I mean, he's pushing forward with this, so I'm not gonna trounce him for that.
Perhaps, if you're gonna be the spokesman for the Libertarian Party, maybe not be Stoner Supreme at the same time.
Stoner Supreme, that's hilarious. But otherwise, we do recommend being Stoner Supreme in general.
Yeah, just not as spokesman for the party, you know.
Just not as spokesman. What I was trying to ask earlier is what was the question I was asking?
Speaking of Stoner Supreme,
can someone rewind the tape? I was going to say who has more of an impact, the Libertarian Party or the Lions of Liberty?
Lions of Liberty by far, man.
Now, in fairness, there are far more members of the Libertarian Party and registered libertarians than there are listeners of Lions of Liberty. We have a very sizable and rapidly growing audience. But
I mean, I haven't looked at the numbers recently.
That doesn't mean that we aren't influential.
I haven't looked at the numbers recently, but what libertarian podcasts are bigger than us? Probably Part of the Problem, Jason Stapleton, Tom Woods Show. Like, are there others that are bigger than us? Like,
if you believe Chris Bangle, We Are Libertarians is doing a little better than us.
I've never even heard that show.
And I think Paxton Lava Flow is like in our territory.
I've never even heard We Are Libertarians. How could that be?
We Are Libertarians, I think.
Howie, I advertise them all the time on the show. Are you saying it's not a fan?
They have a very passionate, loyal, regional fan base, I think. It's a lot of people out of the Midwest because Chris Spangle has been very active in Libertarian Party politics. And
Very active in rigging our poll.
Yes, and also trying to rig our Liberty Draft, that son of a bitch. But
Which might be why I pretend to not know who he is.
Jeez, Howie, it's all right. Spangle pretends he doesn't know who Brian McWilliams is, so it's a cycle, a cycle of ignoring people. I think another thing that you hear, I guess, some libertarians and talk about it. I feel like I don't even hear like Fox News talk about it that much. Probably because I don't watch Fox News. That might be the main reason, but probably the most libertarian thing Trump has done or has been doing by far is his slashing of regulations. He has literally been, I think I read something, I'm making up the number right now,
22.
But it's something like 22 what?
22 to 1?
Yeah, it's some crazy ratio. Like they said he laid out for every new regulation you had to slash 2, but that was like a minimum. And they have slashed far more than that. Now, I'm guessing most of the regulations slashed were just redundant ones that are probably still, you know, there's probably still a lot of regulations that do the same things but still. The more you can slash and slash and slash away at regulations, the more you are freeing human beings to actively participate, in a free market, to actively, make voluntary exchanges with each other, to create businesses, to, create their own wealth and not have to rely on a corporate job. Because it basically, you have two options in life. You can create your own wealth. You can have a business. You can convince people to donate to something called the Lions of Liberty Pride. Now, that has nothing to do with us gaining wealth. All goes back into the show. But you can either do that and build your own wealth, or you can work for a corporation. I kind of do both, but most of us have to do one or the other. Or most of us do one or the other, but as the economy changes, I think we're going to see less and less and less of those quote-unquote corporate jobs available, and it's going to be more and more the gig economy, people making their own their own way in life, and the more you can cut regulations during this process, I mean, the more people are going to be able to do that, and the less hampered they're going to be. So I think that is by far the best thing he's doing, especially because all these regulations were written without Congress, so I don't even have a remote libertarian or constitutional qualm about them being cut without Congress, because they were unconstitutional to begin with, as far as I'm concerned. So slash away at regulations, and you will not hear a single complaint from me about that. I mean, I'm not saying it's because he's a libertarian. Maybe it's just because it wins him points with Republicans or whatever. Whatever his motivations may be, he's doing it. And it's something that a lot of Republicans have talked about. They talk about cutting regulations. They talk about cutting taxes. Trump has done both. Now, the taxes thing, we can go either way on that. It's not a dramatic tax cut, but it is a tax cut for most people. And it's 100% a tax cut for corporations. Those two things
I've got a question for you guys. I hear a lot of libertarians complaining about the tax cuts because they're like, well, there weren't spending cuts too. The debt's going up. It's huge, whatever. We're going to have to – what are we going to have to do? Aren't we going to have to default? Like, if we default, I mean, no one's going to come and attack us. We still have an awesome military.
Here's what I would say to libertarians complaining about that. Of course, you want spending cuts to balance out. Obviously, you want that. But you never turn down a tax cut. I mean, you just look at what the corporate tax rate is going to. Was at 35% going down to 20%. I mean, as libertarians, we understand that corporations do not pay taxes. Corporations pass taxes on, and passing those taxes on affects their business in many ways. I mean, they pass it on by not paying their employees as much, or not putting it into research and development, or not giving it out as dividends. I mean, there's many ways that this can help to grow the economy. And it's really just arguing against tax cuts, just taking the spending cuts, putting them aside, arguing against this tax cut is arguing for what liberals and progressives argue for, which is the old supply side economics. They want to give money directly to the citizens, the worker bees, and spend money that way. Consumption driven economy, which has been proven to not work. I mean, it's illogical and doesn't make sense. The way to start an economy, the way to grow an economy, the way to have innovation and create an environment where entrepreneurs can thrive is to have the lowest tax rate as possible. And to turn down a 15% tax cut at the corporate level would be fucking insane. And you're not a libertarian if you are willing to turn that down.
Odie, I totally agree. And I would love to see spending cuts with the tax cuts. But if we can't get it, I'll always take a tax cut. But when the debt gets so big, and they're like, what are we going to do? Are we going to print more money? Are we going to tax people more? We say, no, fuck no, you can't do that. They need to default. They can't pay this back. And I think the only thing that's going to happen is no one will lend us a dollar ever again. And you know what? Then we have to live within our means after that. But I think that's where we're at. It's going to get so big where they have to do something drastic to deal with it, whether it's print tons of money, tax people at insane rates, or just freaking default. Say, hey, you all shouldn't have lent us all that money. We obviously weren't very responsible.
We could just take over Antarctica and get the natural resources there.
None of us American citizens, I wasn't for any of this spending, and it's ridiculous. Your little Ruby shouldn't be responsible for these decisions from these dumb politicians. They should just fucking default. They should do it now. If they don't do it now,
especially when her dad was decrying it the whole time.
If they don't do it now, they should do it later. But anyways, the tax cuts are good. The tax cuts will help people today, and I'm all for it, no matter if they're spending cuts or not. Though I wish there were spending cuts.
I agree. I think we agree on that.
Let's keep in mind, though, tax cuts without spending cuts doesn't necessarily mean that the debt and the gap is getting wider. Because one thing that people forget and don't talk about with it, and I don't like the idea of things being revenue neutral. I want revenue to drop dramatically for the government so they can do less bad things. But cutting taxes historically, I mean, actually often produces more revenue. I mean, many progressives refuse to acknowledge this fact that when you lower taxes and you lower the burden on corporations and on people, it generates more economic activity, which is taxed, which actually ends up often raising the amount of tax revenue you're getting in. So, I mean, there's charts you can see where even as the tax revenue goes, or the taxes go down and get down, even when they go up, revenue kind of stays the same because everything just sort of adjusts. So that being said, with that being the case, I'll always take the lower taxes. I'll always take the more money in my pocket because I will use it more wisely than the government will. I know the government's going to blow it. I know that I might blow it too, but at least it'll be me blowing it.
Not if you invest in Siacoin.
Which I have. But we do not give out investment advice on this show. We might give out fake investment advice on the Pride, maybe.
Perhaps.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow podcast, striking the root every single episode.
This is Chris Spangle, and I am the host of We Are Libertarians, which you can find in iTunes, Google Play, or at wearelibertarians.com. We are a podcast that brings you all of the irreverence that modern politics deserves by examining current events from a libertarian perspective. So please, check us out at wearelibertarians.com.
Hey everyone, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is Liberty. Each week we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty, rock and roll.
I think that's a great way to come back into the show. We are back here on the very special New Year's edition of Libertarians in Living Rooms Drinking Liquor, which is of course, Thucker and Thuckatash. That's how you know I'm going to be I've been drinking.
Christ Almighty, Mark, you sound like you're on your 6th week baby Jesus like me.
I'm not. I'm on my, well, it's my third Angry Orchard. I never mentioned what I was drinking, by the way. I'm drinking Angry Orchards, a nice hard cider, but I'm also drinking.
You get it, though? Christ Almighty, sweet baby Jesus.
Yes, I do get it. Well, to be clear, I do get it, just after Christmas here. You know, I'm drinking these Angry Orchards, but I've also been drinking this Korbel extra dry champagne that I popped earlier in the show. To celebrate Howie's future podcast. And so we can't, I don't know how we can calculate the effects of how that is mixing with everything.
What are you drinking this champagne out of? Do you have a champagne glass or
a flute? No,
just a coffee mug.
It's actually a plastic wine glass.
I wish I was drinking out of my leather tankard that I bought at the Renaissance Fair. That's what I wish I was drinking out of, but I'm not.
Your leather what?
It's like a leather, what I don't know what you call it, like a tankard. That you, I got it at the Renaissance Fair. It's awesome.
I don't know that
it's
word.
It's leather, but it's coated in like a wax, so you can put alcohol in it.
Drink. Oh, it's like a medieval.
Yeah. It's got a little latch, so I could put it on my belt buckle, and it's empty.
Well, that's nice. That's convenient.
Yeah, when you're at a Renaissance Fair, it's great.
Man, maybe we should go to a Renaissance Fair. That's one thing I want to talk about because I want to talk a little bit more before. What?
Renaissance Fair? Is that what you want to talk about?
Yeah. I want to talk about... Let's get down to what I really came here to talk about today, and that's Renaissance Fairs. Now, what I want to talk about is the coming year for Lions of Liberty. Also, the last year. We talked about that a bit in the top of the show, and just... I got to say again how we are just absolutely... I almost said appalled. That's not the word. We are appalled by the support we're receiving from the Lions of Liberty Pride. What's the word I'm looking for? We are flattered. I'm flattered doesn't seem
it's what's like at the source at synonyms. What's find
keep
like,
in mind we're drinking. We're not stupid.
Find the
we're
book that has the opposite of appalled.
Yeah, what's the opposite of appalled? That's what we are.
Let me Google that. Opposite of appalled.
We're very grateful. We're grateful. That's good.
Grateful is grateful doesn't feel like it captures ecstatic. The emotion. Ecstatic? Yeah, that's good. All right, I give up. We're very, very happy that people have been sending us money in the Lions of Liberty Pride and supporting this show. I think more so than just getting the money, because it's not like I said, this is not lining my pocketbook. I don't have a pocketbook. It's not lining my pockets. It's going right back into the show. It's gone into new microphones. Every one of us has a new microphone, a pop filter, a mic stand, all three of us. You probably heard some of us bump into it a couple times because some people are still getting a little bit used to it. But we have new equipment. And we're going to be getting even more new equipment as the year goes in. We're hoping to, also start incorporating some video. I know we're looking at buying some lighting equipment. Me and Odie just actually recorded on video as a little test our last Felony Friday episode. You won't see that video because we're still testing things out. But we are looking into more ways to invest that money into new technology for us to improve the quality of the podcast and the ways we can deliver content to you. But at the same time, we're also putting that into the marketing of the show and expanding the show, like I said, with the ads on the Tom Woods Show, with the ads on Part of the Problem. And I gotta say, speaking of flattered, I said this before, like a month or so ago, or maybe it was last week. It's really hard for me to keep track. We are flattered by the words that Tom and Dave have been saying about us on their ads, because while I have paid for ad time, and I do have known both Dave and Tom for the last couple of years since I got into podcasting and started reaching out to other libertarian podcasters, I didn't write them a script. You know, there's obviously some talking points we want them to get in about the show and the content and that sort of thing, but they both said some very wonderful things about the show that... unless they're lying, it's possible. I don't know. Maybe they're lying, but I really am flattered by their
Tom
kind
Woods
words about the show. Yeah,
Tom never told lying. A lie.
Dave's full of shit. I mean, Dave. I could see him. Dave, you're probably full of shit. I know you don't listen to the show. No, Dave does listen to the show. I know that for a fact. Dave actually listened to the show a long time ago on the old Daily Paul website. You guys remember the Daily Paul website?
Yeah,
I used to post all the shows
hated
there.
It.
I've been meaning to put a poll up in the forum for how many people were on the Daily Paul. We got to get a gauge.
Oh yeah,
of
let's
that.
Do that. Yeah. Do that as soon as we get off the show.
I only went on there to vote up our stuff.
Yeah, that's all I needed you to do. That's basically how this podcast first got its very, very small audience in the beginning, because I don't think I was even that active on Facebook when I first started. It was more just going onto the Daily Paul. That was kind of like the hub for all Ron Paul Liberty Talk. And I just posted my episodes there because I had been on there a couple of years. getting into debates and conversations with people, one of which is James Riley, who I'm going to have back on the show next month. He's been on the show a couple times before. I'm looking forward to having him back on to talk a little philosophy. But I met a lot of people in there, and a lot of those people ended up forming the early part of the Lions of Liberty audience. So obviously we've expanded quite a bit since then, but I know there's got to be a decent amount of people listening that even if they didn't know the show back then, were probably on that site, because that was a very, very active hub. So if you're on Daily Paul, let us know. Let us know in the Lions of Liberty Forum. Come find us on Facebook or tweet to us if you're not on there. You can always drop me an email, mark@lionsofliberty.com. But reach out. We're very interested in connecting / reconnecting, or at least I am, with old Daily Paul people. So I think that's it was a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think.
It was a nice hub.
If you remember back at the Daily Paul, it would tell you in the bottom, I'm assuming the count was at least close to being right, how many people were online and signed in at that time. It would be in the thousands of people, like in the middle of the day on a Tuesday, just looking at the Daily Paul, watching videos, commenting on stuff. I mean, it was a huge community. It's really amazing.
I believe it was Daily Paul and Pornhub were the two most trafficked sites at one point during the Ron Paul, the height of Ron Paul, I believe.
By libertarians or by the whole world.
By libertarians specifically, yes. yeah, but like I said, we are not appalled. We are very grateful, flattered for all the support we've been getting from people. But like I said, it's not just the money that comes in. It's the community that we've been building. Like I said, we have the Secret Pride Facebook group, and that's where we interact a lot more with people. And we also have the Lions of Liberty Pride, the $25 level folks, who we do a monthly conference call with, which is basically an unaired edition of Libertarians in Living Rooms Drinking Liquor, where we just bullshit and shoot the shit. We've got 8 or 9 people in there. My dad is actually a $25 member. He's yet to make it onto a call. That'll be interesting. That's one that might be the biggest motivation to get on the Pride, to get in the $25 level, because when my dad gets on, it's gonna be interesting, let me tell you.
He better at least make it on for Father's Day. That'd be nice.
Okay. I was actually thinking of interviewing him for Father's Day again, because I actually interviewed my dad for Father's Day I think it was actually the first year of the podcast, and I haven't gone back to it since then. I don't know why. That's my first New Year's resolution, is to interview my dad for Father's Day. How about that?
Do it.
I agree, do it.
All right, but that is the past. That's the last year or so. Like I said, we took in about, not like I said, I didn't say, we took in something about, I didn't go sit down with a calculator and crunch the numbers, about $5,000 or $6,000from Pride members, from listeners, and patrons of the show in the last year. And by the time December 31st is done, which it will be by the time you're listening, we will have spent nearly all of that money. We're just keeping a couple $100 in there to, to fulfill some t-shirt orders for new Pride members, since we are doing a new New Year's special. And that brings me to this announcement, the next announcement. We just had a lot of success with our Christmas bonus. We went crazy and offered a bunch of free stuff to new Pride members. Anybody who signed up on Christmas Day or the day after got, they basically got their Pride levels turbocharged. So if you signed up at the $5 level, which normally includes no free items, just the secret Facebook group and all the exclusive audio content, we now have over 80 exclusive bonus podcasts that we produced in the past year, in addition to the regular podcast. But if you sign up at that level, you actually get the free items from the level above that, and that's true for every level. So if you sign up at the $5 level, you get a free t-shirt and a free koozie, which normally only the $10 people get. If you sign up at the $10 level, you get two free t-shirts and a koozie, which normally the $25 people get. And if you sign up at the $25 level, you get 3 free t-shirts and a poster and a koozie, which more than pays for at least, I would say, 2 to 3 months of being at that $25 level if you calculate the actual cost of those items. So we really are trying to just give a bunch of items out and really encourage anyone who's either on the fence or maybe some new people that just started listening and aren't necessarily sure they want to fully support the show. Well, we're going to give you some free merch and get you in there for at least a month or two. And you're basically paying for the merch with those couple months. And at that point, if you want to quit, hey, you can quit. No hard feelings. But I don't think you're going to want to quit, because I've yet to see a Pride member not enjoy the Pride and not become a really more active part of this community. So I'm really excited to get more people in there. So that new special, the same special we ran for Christmas that I just entailed there, we're going to run it again today, if you're listening the day of the podcast on New Year's Day, and tomorrow, January 2nd. If you're listening after those dates, I apologize. You just need to be a better fan, I guess is what I would say. But anybody who signs up for the Pride, go over to lionsofliberty.com/support for all the information about that, or you can go directly to Podbean patreon.podbean.com/Lions of Liberty, and sign right up, and I will reach out to you, and we will get you all sorts of free jazz. So if you're even thinking about that Prime membership, jump on that puppy right now, because we're going to just lavish you with free Lions of Liberty merchandise. Wonderful thing.
And also, for people who are already in the Pride and are thinking about upgrading to the next level, this is the two-day window to do it. I mean,
correct.
You're going
to
get
this applies to upgrades.
You'll get the
as
bonuses
well.
Yes. As well. So if you've been thinking about it, and you're thinking, "No, I'm going for 5 to 10. I don't know if I can do it." But this is the time to do it right now, because you're basically robbing us. So it's the time to take advantage of us. And you're not robbing us. You're getting the best deal, and we want to get you guys to get the best deal. So. There you go.
And, it's all voluntary.
And if you go to the $100 level, you get a phone call with the Godfather of Liberty.
All right. There you go. Let's offer it. I'm totally on board. All right. You get to talk to Howie Snowden for an hour. That's your extra New Year's bonus right. If you sign up at the $100 level. Oh. In addition, $100 level is actually a sick level if you have a product or a podcast or something to promote to the libertarian community. Because you're going to reach a lot of libertarians, a lot of people. We'll break down the actual numbers for anybody that actually wants to sign up. Feel free to reach out. But you know, Jason Carrier, he's spending $100 a month, and he's getting 4 ads, which he is graciously donating to the Larry Sharp campaign. You'll be hearing those this month. But that is a tremendous value. I mean, you're basically getting hundreds of dollars of free advertising on this program. So we wanted to put that in there for our highest level of supporters. So not only do you get to be a supporter, get to interact with us, get to jump on that monthly call with us, but you also you also get to put whatever you want on the air. Essentially, we'll advertise whatever you want, as long as it's not too crazy, yeah, not too anti-liberty.
I think it's important to say there are limited spots available in that 100
yes.
level. That's not going to be we obviously can't run ads the entire show,
we can't turn this into 6 ads per show, so we do have to keep that a little bit limited, but
you still get to talk to me, and you know, maybe we'll talk about Peruvian torch cacti. I don't know, we'll see.
Maybe you will. This might be a preview of the kind of stuff you're going to hear in the Lions of Liberty Pride bonus, which we're going to record in just a minute. But I do want to say one more thing about where we're going with the Pride stuff, what we're putting all this money into. Like I said, we've been putting it into new equipment. We've been putting it into marketing and advertising. Also been doing a little bit of targeted Facebook advertising, thanks to John Odermatt, who also has a side business where he does this for a living. So you can reach out to him if you have business needs in the social marketing world as well. Odie, I will invoice you for that plug.
You can
after
find
the show.
That at johnodermatt.com.
Yeah. Really? I didn't even know that was a website.
Indeed.
I've never been to your website. I feel like such a terrible friend.
I haven't
friend.
Advertised it, but it's live now, so check it out.
All right. Well, look at that. What a new year. A new website with your name. How wonderful. But going forward, we do have even greater plans. Like I mentioned, we're starting to dabble in the video stuff, starting to figure that out a little bit, and hopefully we'll be rolling out some video type shows in the coming year. But we're also going to be looking to take the show on the road, and that is actually our next Pride level, which I gotta say, I didn't realize how quickly we were going to be approaching this level. It's the $1,000 a month level, and as of right now, I'm just going to hit the refresh button. I hope it'll be a little higher by the time the show actually airs, but I'm going to give the closest estimate I can give you right now. We are currently at $665 per month from our amazing, amazing, liberty-loving patrons. So my goal is I want to do this by February. Maybe I'm being greedy. Roger Paxton wants us at Porkfest. You know, he wants me at Porkfest. He didn't actually mention you guys, but he wants us all at Porkfest.
I know, and Roger wants and, me there. I know it.
You know, he definitely does. He wants everybody there that he can get. But, you know, Roger Paxton of the Lava Flow Podcast is running Porkfest this summer. There's a couple other events we'd like to potentially go to. There's the Libertarian Party Convention in New Orleans. I know Rico really wants to go to that one. There is the Freedom Fest in Las Vegas. I know we all want to go to that one. There are several events that we'd like to go to. I'd like to go to all of them if we can. I know we all have jobs and work schedules that we have to work around, but if we hit that $1,000 level, the goal of that level is to send us on the road. So if we hit that $1,000 level, we will definitely be investing in some new equipment, buying some plane tickets, and booking some hotels, and going to at least one of these events to do some podcasts, hopefully some live podcasts, maybe some video streaming podcasts if we get all that sorted out by then. It's hard to say exactly how, the nature of what those shows will entail, but if we hit that level, if we hit that $1,000 level, we're definitely going to have the money to put into making sure that we're able to deliver great content to you from these other locations. So that's our next goal. And I would love to do it by February. And maybe a couple months ago, I would have been skeptical. But with the recent surge we've had in the Pride and the recent interest we've had in the show, we've really been picking things up. And like I said, in the last week, we've gotten almost $200 in new patrons. So that is just huge. So if we can keep up this pace, I think Odie laid out the challenge to double the Pride membership. That was back when it was 54 members. Not even a week ago, he wanted to double it to 108. Well, we're already at 64 patrons right now. So I really think we can do that. Even if you only have $5 a month, not everybody needs to come in at the higher levels. If you only have $5 a month, just think about what that is. That's just not having an extra beer every month. That's just not having an extra coffee every month. So it's very little out of your everyday life, but it helps us so much. So if we can get to that $1,000 level by February, we can really plan out these other events because most of them do take place over the summer. So I'm really hoping to nail that level very soon. And the more that we can get over that level, the more we can get higher than 1,000, the more events we can go to. I mean, at some point in this podcasting journey, if we're able to bring in enough revenue, I will definitely consider going back into the freelance world, because at that point I can kind of dictate my schedule a little bit more. I can have more free time. That's something I would definitely consider solely based on the amount of support we get. So this is all up to you guys. You know, everything you get from the show is what you put in. This show evolves as our listeners and our fans want it to evolve. And most importantly, it's going to evolve in the direction that the Pride members want it to evolve, because you guys that support us are the ones that we listen to the most. So that I just wanted to lay all of that out there for people that are just coming into the show, people that have been listening for a long time. I want you to know where all this money is going and exactly what our plans are going into this new year. Gentlemen, do you have anything to add? Odie, I know you've probably got some thoughts, because we've been talking about this stuff for a while.
I'll just quote Gary Vaynerchuk real quick. And really,
I thought you were going to say quote Gary Johnson
Every other entrepreneur out there who loves this buzzword. Let's 10X 2018, guys. Let's 10X 2018.
God, I hate Gary Vaynerchuk.
To the moon.
What does that even mean?
To the moon.
What does that even mean? 10 times what you did last year, do it this year?
Yeah, 10 times.
Is that what it means?
We can do it.
Well, we would be doing $6,000 a month this time next year, if that's the case.
Why not?
So that would be great. If we do 10 times 2018, I will probably quit my job. I'll just say that right now. Hopefully no one at work hears this, because then I might not have to quit my job. But if we get that much support from you guys, I mean, it would be hard for me not to dedicate myself full time to this. I mean, I don't think I'd be able to resist.
Yeah, that would be massive changes, because at that point in time, I mean, we're able to pour so much into advertising that we would be able to ramp up sponsors, bringing those spots on the show, which is where you really start to make some money. So it'd be possible for sure.
Hell, they might even be able to afford a Howie Snow and happy hour.
Maybe, because we do know you are going to charge a pretty hefty hosting fee, I think, when you actually start.
Oh,
this,
of course, yes.
From what I understand.
Yes. But you can get that call, though, for just $100 a Pride member.
we did not discuss this before the show at all. I love that Howie just decided to offer a call with himself. What would be great is if you signed up at $100 a month and you got a Skype call with yourself.
This is better than me paying to talk to the Pride members. They could pay to talk to me.
Way better.
I would like to hear a podcast of Howie after 6 sweet baby Jesuses just talking to himself.
Well, just
interview.
Just,
how we interview?
Just wait till
how
the bonus content. We're almost done with the 6th.
That's coming up right next. That's right. As soon as we hop off this show, which we're going to do right now, I know you guys have an entire year ahead of you to plan. So we're going to get going here. But as soon as this podcast ends, we are not going to stop. We're going to keep going and do a little Pride bonus extra drunken segment. As I think Justin Zielinski pointed out in the Pride group, he said, Mark said words like, Perception. I say a lot of weird stuff. If you think I say weird stuff on this show, just wait till the Pride. So very easy way to go check it out. LionsOfLiberty.com/support. Any final words? You want to toss out any New Year's predictions? Anything we see ahead for Liberty or politics or just life in general coming ahead? I know Howie is predicting potentially the Howie Snowden happy hour. I'm predicting maybe we'll go to Pork Fest, Freedom Fest, all these places and do great podcasts for you guys. What else we got coming ahead maybe?
Well, 2018 is not only the year of the Lions of Liberty, it's also going to be the year of Odie, because I am going to quit my job one way or the other, and hopefully nobody who I work with is listening, but I plan on getting out of corporate America. I'm going to...
On January 2nd, we might all be unemployed after this, depending on who listens.
I'm hoping this the year of Sia Coin, and I will get a Sia Green Lamborghini.
That's my other path out of the corporate world if my Sia Coin investments from Howie play out. In which case, I probably won't even do the podcast. I'll probably just be in another country. Sorry, guys. JK, I will always do this show. Even if I am a billionaire, I'll keep doing the Lions of Liberty podcast. That's a pledge you can take to the bank. Heck, you guys can make me a billionaire and try to prove me wrong by joining the Lions of Liberty Pride.
You can take that sea of coin to the bank.
All right, folks. Well, I have no other predictions other than that Liberty will continue to flourish. I do think, do you think Trump is going to be in office at the end of 2018?
Yes.
He's going to be in office as long as he wants to be in office. Well, up until
maybe
8 years.
Maybe even beyond. Everybody I work with, I'm not joking when I say everybody is convinced any minute Robert Mueller is pulling the rug out and Trump's going to be impeached by any minute now. So,
oh man, this totally makes me think of those Star Wars previews where you see Luke Skywalker. Sorry, too many sweet pages. Is Luke Skywalker saying like, "This won't end the way you think."
No spoilers.
That's how
though.
I
no
see
spoilers.
The Robert Mueller investigation.
Maybe we'll talk a little Star Wars.
I think
in the
it's going to be.
We'll see.
It's going to be the Hillary Obama people getting arrested and going.
That's
to
a prediction.
All right,
I think you're wrong about the prediction, but yeah, whatever.
The most amazing thing with how he just said was he said "sweet baby Jesus" in one syllable.
Sweet baby
right
Jesus.
There.
Sweet
baby
Jesus.
Heard that.
Impressive. Well, I think that's a good way to wrap things up when you can fit that many words into one syllable, gentlemen. It has been not only a wonderful year, but a wonderful journey in liberty with all of you. You've both been a massive part of the evolution of not only my libertarian journey, but the growth of this podcast. So I thank you both for joining me, not only for the show, but for the last 4 years and really a lifetime of liberty. Because without talking about liberty, who's going to start doing it? The answer's nobody.
All exactly. Right. A tear for liberty.
Why don't we sign off so we can get into the old pride? What do you say? Until next time, folks.
Live long!